Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, welcome to episode 316 of See You Next Wednesday, a pop culture and film podcast where a single die roll decides what movies we have to see. This episode drops on Wednesday, August 15th, 2018, and my name is Dan Gorman, and I'm taking a plane break.
Hey, my name is Casey Lyons, and this little motherfucker's tasty.
My name's Greg LeGrode. Great, who are we killing? I don't do kids, that's a rule. But that rule is negotiable. The kid's a dick.
We have lots of stuff to talk about this week. Was it a winner's choice this week?
No.
What was it?
The Meg.
The Megalodon.
It was very much not a winner's choice.
The big shark movie in theaters this week. We will talk about that in
it's
Film Roulette.
It's gobbling up the competition.
Yeah. Opening wide.
Yeah. Uh-huh. 2 hours of my fucking time.
And I watched the losing film, Love on a Leash.
Sex dog.
Yeah. Sex dog. He's a sex dog.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. You do not want to stop listening before that review, let me tell you. We will talk about that and more in our Film Roulette segment. We'll talk about stuff off the top. Before we get there, please email us at info@modernsuperior.com if you would like to talk to us. Send us your feedback. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at SYNWPC. Mm-hmm. If you like what you hear, go onto iTunes and rate and review us. Uh-huh. And tell every single one of your friends in real life all about us at all times. Great.
Every minute of what? The day. Yes.
How's it going?
Fine.
Good. Yeah. Summer's winding up. The movies are drying up, it seems.
What in the fuck is going on? It's August. It's the beginning of August. Where are the movies?
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking ding dongs.
Are they still just banking on that Tom Cruise movie? Yeah, I guess. Impossible doing.
Well, it's making a lot of money, and so is this shark picture. But yeah. Still, this week and next week, what?
Yeah, not what? Much. Not yeah, much.
For Christ's sakes,
not much.
Yeah,
in the
August
long...
is definitely a big part of summer.
Yeah. Although, I feel like things are winding down now. It's like people just treat summer's over now.
They
it's
didn't
August.
Wind though. It's a dead stop. There's nothing.
Yeah.
Go look at the summer movies for the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Not much.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. The dog days of summer.
Yeah, yeah. What sorry. What's going on? How are you guys?
I'm good.
Yeah. Is there
good.
News?
I have a couple things.
Okay, great.
So one of the first things that I have here is that there is a article on Bloody Disgusting with the title, "Has production begun on the Child's Play remake? ?
Uh-huh.
And what it seems to be is MGM, who have been said to be remaking Child's Play, there is a director attached, and he tweeted or whatever, put a picture out on Instagram. I don't know where it was, but he had a picture of a script that said, like, week one, let's play. And
it should really give him the whole thing.
Yeah. And basically, from what I can get from this article, is Don Mancini, the brains behind all of the Child's Play movies, including the ones that are still being made.
Yeah.
Because he's still directing them.
Pretty good.
Yeah, last one was pretty good.
Yep.
And apparently there's a series in works at Universal that he's involved in.
Mm-hmm.
I guess a
Child's Play series?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Yeah. And so I guess
So what's the fucking remake for? If they're still making the original series, is Brad Dourif going to be doing both of them?
Because I doubt
that's an interesting question. Is this a movie? Is Chucky so iconic that you can't replace Brad Dourif? I think they were doing like a whole reboot thing.
Yeah, I think you're going to notice it's not Brad Dourif. Like, you might not like realize how important Chucky's voice is, but Brad Dourif is a remarkably talented actor that can do like a lot of things and is really in control of his voice. So not that there aren't good voice actors out there, but there's a menace that makes this whole thing work, but also like a sense of humor.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Not easy to do.
No.
I wonder,
like, listen,
I mean,
Jackie Earl Haley is a fucking fantastic
he's
actor.
He's so good, but he was so god awful in that. Well, that whole movie
everything
was
a fucking
shambles.
Shit show.
Yeah,
it's still summer.
I feel like they're going for this. Isn't even going to be Chucky related. I feel like it says that
because he was really dragging that storyline down.
Yeah,
he was the least interesting thing about.
Yeah, I wanted more about the kid.
What time's his bedtime?
What else does he play with?
The contemporary remake is said to involve a group of kids and a technologically advanced doll that enters their world. Chucky gonna have like Wi-Fi and like download like shock videos
Chucky
for them
versus Chappie.
yeah,
fucking stupid.
Yeah, so it's just a kind of a slap in the face to the people that were involved with the original.
Yeah,
if they, but I guess like rights are owned or whatever. But yeah, pretty garbage.
Yeah, just needless.
Yeah. And then, speaking of that kind of news, Neil Blomkamp says Peter Weller should play RoboCop in his sequel.
Obviously.
And so that's a thing that he is saying. And we talked about that, I believe, last week or the week before. And I'm cautiously optimistic.
If Peter Weller were RoboCop again, I'd
want to see old RoboCop.
That's wicked.
Yeah.
I saw something I didn't even know was happening. And it's funny, like a few months back or maybe a year, I don't know, I looked to see if they were planning to do this, but I just saw a still from it today. I guess they've recently started production, but they're making a movie out of that book, The Sisters Brothers.
Yeah.
With a crazy cast. Holy fuck. I read
that's
book.
Like a
it's
whole
amazing.
Thing.
It's a fucking great book.
What's the book?
It's The Sisters Brothers.
Yeah, but like, what is it? Like, give me the log line. I don't know.
It's a noir-y western.
Okay.
And these two brothers are hired guns, and they work for this fella, and it's them out on a job, and there's many conflicts with it.
Okay.
And, you know, moralistically and spiritually for them, you know, and they're two grisly, like fucking intense killers.
Sweet.
You know, so anyway, but it's written with a lot of stuff. The book itself is really cinematic. I was reading it, I'm like, this needs to be a movie. And the cast is fucking bananas. It's Joaquin Phoenix John C. Reilly and Jake Gyllenhaal and
Rutger Hauer.
Carol
Kane.
I love Carol Kane.
I don't know who's directing it. I didn't even get that far. I was so excited. Okay. Well, anyway, read the book. It's so good. You'll fly through it. Read it before the movie happens.
That's going to make it hard to read.
What other movies directed by this director?
Yeah, what's he got?
Oh, you mean Jacques Arlioud? He has directed such films as The Sisters Brothers.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
D-Pan.
Oh, yeah.
Rust and Bone.
Okay, Rust and Bone is so
Prophet.
Good. Oh, yeah. That's a big one, too.
The Beat That My Heart Skipped.
Rust and Bone is so good.
Who's in that?
Let me see.
I know that name.
That is...
I know that name.
Marion Cotillard.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's a French movie.
Yeah. Matthias Schoenaerts.
Great.
Yeah. If you haven't seen Rust and Bone, you should totally check it out. It's amazing.
Will.
It's... Yeah. I saw that... theaters, I feel like it was really good. And A Prophet, I haven't seen, but I feel like was up for an Academy Award for foreign. That was a big one that a lot of people were talking about. That's cool. That sounds like I really want to see that.
Read the book. It's not super long, and you'll just whip right through it. It's super duper good.
Speaking of books, did you guys see the trailer for Green Book?
No.
So the Viggo Mortensen film, it is directed by Peter Farrelly. And it's about it's like an Oscar looking kind of movie, like really going for Oscar. It's Viggo Mortensen and Mahershala Shala Ali, Viggo Mortensen is Tony Lip and Ali is Don Shirley, and it's like based on a true story of this Italian American bouncer becomes the driver for this pianist who's doing a tour through the American South. So he's like, you're gonna get some trouble when you go down there. Watch the trailer and maybe we'll talk about it. It looks
I didn't know if Peter Farrelly had anything to do with that. I just saw the still from it. And I was like, hey, Viggo Mortensen's
it looks,
in the movie.
If you,
I'll probably watch it.
Yeah. You wouldn't know it was a Farrelly from the trailer. It looks like this is the movie that like will be the down the middle one that gets a lot of awards or whatever, a lot of nominations.
Yeah.
And then other trailers. I watched a couple.
Yeah.
What Men Want has a trailer now.
What Men Want is that?
That's the What Women
the
Want
sequel to
Want redo. Taraji P. Henson and some other people in that. I was
is
on.
Is there a more unpleasant movie to go back to? Is there anything that's like, like I mean, is What Women Want about as crazy to look back on as like Soul Man or something? Like
I feel like it is a little like
pretty like oh my god,
I didn't see it. Maybe it's a salient point about the condition of being a woman in today's society.
Yeah, I don't know,
with Mel Gibson.
Yeah,
with Mel Gibson.
When they announced this and they said that it was going to be Taraji P. Henson and Tracy Morgan, I was kind of like, okay, like maybe it'll be funny.
Maybe.
And then
really?
I watched the trailer
like, okay,
for it.
Okay, and then no.
Yeah.
So how's the trailer?
The trailer is not good.
Right.
No. There's like the lines that they have for the like, this is what the men must be thinking are, I'm like, you picked that for the trailer? This one guy's like, you're walking through a cloud of my farts, lady, or something. And I was like, what? This is the joke? Your joke? I farted? Get the fuck, because she's so funny and charismatic, and I feel like she's sort of been like a breakout role in a couple movies, but then has also been doing these ones that it's like, no, do one that's like amazing. I don't know, like I feel like she's been talked about as like really great supporting, and I'm waiting for her to be given like a like this doesn't look like what.
Yeah, yeah, I think I Proud know. Mary was supposed to be that. But
yeah, and that was another one where it was like, yes, sweet.
And then
she's a badass action leading role, throwback blaxploitation, and then everyone watched it and was like, oh, it's just a boring movie.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, bummer.
Gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So What Men Want, no thanks. And then I watched the trailer for Arizona with Danny McBride. Have you guys heard of this?
No.
No.
So it's from people that worked on Eastbound and Down and Vice Principals. Some of the directors, I believe, First AD and some other people. So they have this movie called Arizona. It's played some festivals. It stars Danny McBride as this guy who's really pissed off over the housing market and kind of has been sort of washed out his finances and didn't expect it and has all this anger towards like real estate agents and people that have done him wrong financially. And he basically goes on this kind of murder kidnap spree, but in a like dark comedy sort of bleak looking kind of way. And it looks pretty good.
All right.
Like
it, yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah,
I loved Eastbound and Down.
Yeah.
I always meant to watch Vice Principals, but never got around to it.
Yeah.
I caught a couple of episodes of it and didn't care that much for
it. The first season of Eastbound and Down was remarkable.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they
were all
like
entertaining, but the first one was just, oh, shit.
It started dragging its heels a little bit, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Arizona, check the trailer for that. Looks pretty good. Yeah. It's been described as like a, it's kind of a slasher, but kind of a comedy thriller. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Just makes me want to see Halloween already.
Yeah.
Which was announced at Midnight Madness for TIFF, and I really want to watch that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I got to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were the pieces that I wrote down.
Yeah, it was kind of slow.
Yeah.
I watched this.
Yeah, what did you guys watch?
I watched, I don't know, more Venom trailer, and I'm less and less interested.
I watched more of that Venom trailer, and I was like, oh, do you know that it's PG-13?
Yeah, I do.
I was holding out for G.
Yeah. Is there anything like less than G?
Yeah.
Well, you know, something for infants.
Yeah. Unrated, but yeah. Because there's nothing bad about it.
Yeah. And I don't know what they're doing. They're planning all of these non-Spider-Man spider movies. They had one, what was it going to be? Black Cat and...
I heard about that.
Yeah, and then they're going to be together. And then they split. Anyway, there's like five not Spider-Man movies that they're trying to get made here.
Well, yeah, and it's all Sony, right? Like it's like the Sony Spider-Man universe.
Didn't they give up? Didn't they share Spider-Man because they were like, we don't know what we're doing?
Yeah,
and then Marvel went like this, and they went, okay,
I think we got it.
No problem. You have Spider-Man, and we have nothing. we're going to fucking grind this thing into dirt so he has nowhere to come back to.
Well, I feel like...
Use up all his villains, so fuck all y'all.
Apparently, from what I read, and I don't know how baseless this is or what, but they're making a PG-13 so that it can eventually merge with the Marvel Universe, and then Venom can maybe show up.
Yeah.
Which is fucking stupid.
Well, it all doesn't make any sense, because it shouldn't look like Spider-Man yet. And then it also, if you're going to bother to do that, at least make him look right. I watched this thing. Todd McFarlane was talking about the Venom movie and the look, and he's like, I think it looks pretty good. Here's what I would have done, though. And he just took a pen, you know, where you can, like, draw on your screen.
Yeah.
And so he just does it real quick, and he's like, I would have made his... This is what I did with the eyes when I designed the character. I made him kind of like Spider-Man's eyes. Like, they go this way. Not... They're pointing down towards his mouth, like, but they actually go up.
Yeah.
So you get more black on the... And so he changes it all. He just draws on a picture of the movie, and then it's like... Oh, you fucking idiots.
Yeah.
It's remarkable. If you can find it, check it out. Because it's like, yeah, that's what Venom should look like. That's much more terrifying. That's much more interesting. It's everything much better.
Did you see the part in the trailer where he's talking to that guy about how he's going to eat his face?
Yeah.
So you get like the extended sort of Venom voice, which I find interesting because he cited a bunch of like influences for it or something, but I feel like it just sounds like Daniel Day-Lewis and There Will Be Blood, which I'm on board for.
Anyway, it's better than the Spider-Man 3 Venom, which just sounded like Topher Grace until he went, yeah. No good. Yeah. Anyway, I don't care. It's going to fucking suck.
I don't care at all.
It's just a mess.
I'm going to see it.
Yeah, well, of course. We're going to check this fucking thing out and let people know what's happening. But god damn it. What the fuck? What in the sweet fuck?
I don't like the parts where Tom Hardy's trying to be relatable. I don't like him when he's relatable.
Yeah.
You I don't think I like him in general. I think he's a fucking great actor.
Yeah.
But I don't think I like him.
All right.
I have complicated feelings. Yeah.
I guess so.
Speaking of what the fuck.
Yeah.
What the fuck did you guys watch this week?
Ooh.
Nice.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Casey?
Yes. Well, I did a lot of catching up and a lot of... new season shenanigans.
New season shenanigans. This is our new segment.
Well, new the first thing I will say, I kept watching Castle Rock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anybody? Anyone?
I have not yet. But I'm going to.
God, it'll be my new show for this week.
I just finished something, so I'm going to get on that. Yeah,
I have no more Drag Race to watch. So
when I came here the last episode, I was like, I think it's going to be really good. I'm going to keep watching it. And now it is the fucking best.
Okay. Sweet.
Holy shit. It's so fucking good. So good. You gotta check it out.
Yeah.
Right. I can't really say anything because I'm just screaming into a vacuum.
Yeah, Castle Rock. I'm gonna get on that. That's my next one
this week for sure.
Yeah.
There are some things like Stephen King says, you know, watch it without, you know, without trying to look for all the little allusions to books and stuff like that. And if you do, like, it just stands on its own as this fucking great story. But then there are things that are just like smack you in the face with the Stephen King referencing things that are also like could be really cheap, but really aren't.
Yeah, that's great.
Sweet.
What have you fucking guys been fucking watching?
I watched one that I'll talk about briefly here in hopes that more people watch it. So there's a movie now you can rent on VOD. It's called Night Comes On. From 2018, it's directed by Jordana Spiro. The synopsis is Angel Lemaire is released from juvenile detention on the eve of her 18th birthday. Haunted by her past, she embarks on a journey with her 10-year-old sister that could destroy their future. And it stars Dominique Fishback, Tatum, Marilyn Hall, and others. This movie's fucking amazing. It's so good. It's basically just a kind of like slice of life character sort of thriller. And the gist of it is she's released and she's looking for her father, and you're not entirely sure why at first, but it's revealed pretty quickly that he was involved with their mother's death of some sort. And so you know that, like, she needs to get to her father, and what will happen when they meet up could be potentially, like, explosive. And her 10-year-old sister kind of might know where he is, and so it's a lot of just them kind of walking around. It's sort of that kind of a character piece. And it fits totally in that vibe of, like, when I think of movies like Wendy and Lucy, or these movies that I really love where it's just like so much of the movie is just these like people interacting with this thing hanging over it that could be like potentially explosive. And it's so tense, but also kind of funny, and also like really, really amazingly acted. I just hope more people watch it, because I think it's one of the best of 2018. Easy. Wow. Yeah. Night Comes On. You should rent it. I think it's on Google Play for like $3.99 or $4.99. It's fucking phenomenal. I want more people to see it. So I won't talk about it in too much detail, other than that it's great, the performances are incredible, and I really, really, really liked it. Night Comes On. Go check it out on Google Play.
Yeah.
VOD, Night, baby.
Okay, fucking A, man. That sounds great.
It's amazing. What about you, Nate?
Greg?
I saw Deadpool 2.
Yeah?
I kept meaning to watch that.
Yeah.
Didn't we do it on the show or no?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, we didn't. Yeah, so I watched it.
Yeah?
Yeah. I thought it was great.
Nice.
Yeah, I had a really fun time. It's, it's... I know there was a directorial change and everyone was concerned. Don't be.
Yeah.
It's the same vibe. Brian Reynolds still doing this thing really, really well. It's still disgusting and crass, but clever and a lot of fun. Like, it was just fun all the way through.
Nice.
And it was neat to see things, you know, like, I didn't think I'd ever see Cable in a fucking movie. So that's cool. And Josh Brolin's great. And they make that work. And they do a fine job of mixing, like, because he breaks the fourth wall and it's like taking the piss out of superhero movies while being one. But they walk the line really nicely, and so it doesn't take you out of it. And you stay with it, and it's like, I'm still just happy to see Colossus at least look right on screen, even though if it's he's more of like a character of a character, because it's not my Colossus.
Mm-hmm.
I got deep love for Colossus. He's my guy. I don't know, this is a spoiler right now, because I didn't hear about him being in it, but there is another, maybe I won't say anything.
Okay.
You guys won't care. But,
I don't care, but yeah.
Yeah, I know you don't care, but some people might care if they haven't seen it yet.
I might care. I find myself caring about... surprising.
Yeah. All right, well, so I won't say,
what?
But
you never know what I'll care about.
There's a character that's been done extremely poorly in a live action film before.
Green Lantern.
Yeah. and I didn't know was in this, and a little bit like Colossus in that it's kind of it's not exactly the character from the comics,
okay,
but it looks so fucking perfect, and they nail some of the intensities of the character so well that I was just like, wow, I never thought I'd see that on screen done that way, and so happy about it. So it was quite a huge surprise when that character rolls on screen, and I was like, fucking right on.
Nice.
I don't know. I was just happy the whole time. No, nothing groundbreaking. It's more, it's like, you know, it's this, it's more of the first movie, but I loved the first movie. I was like not the you know, over the moon on it the first time I saw it. The second time I was like, I'm crazy. That movie's awesome.
Yeah.
I'll watch it again for sure.
Nice.
It was just too much fun. I will totally watch it again. It looks great. And yeah, it's funny. I laughed a lot. There's a lot of fun, cool little jabs in there. Or things that, you know, I don't know, nice, inside baseball kind of fucking little comments. Like, I know what that means. Not terrific. Really nice.
Sweet.
Really nice.
Deadpool 2.
Deadpool 2. Really nice.
Really nice.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good time.
8 out of 10.
Yeah.
Watch it.
Anything else, Casey?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I watched the season premiere of Better Call Saul.
Mm.
So I went ahead and watched that.
And?
And it continues to be the best show on television.
Oh,
and
I'm so
continues
excited.
To make you really uncomfortable with the question, is this better than Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
But nothing is better than Breaking Bad. Yeah. But
I don't know, though.
It might be.
It might be.
Like, it's so good.
But I feel it's like you so like you cannot watch it without watching Breaking Bad.
No, you
this
can't.
This is not
because...
aimed at Dan. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm all done with it because he's never going to watch it. I don't care anymore. But
you absolutely
for
have
people
to...
who are listening, if you're like Dan, but you should
watch it.
You'd be doing yourself such an enormous disservice.
The thing is,
not
you
watching
could,
Breaking Bad first.
You could watch it without watching Breaking Bad, and
it'd be great.
You would really enjoy yourself because it's just on its face a great show.
Yeah.
But there's so many things about the Breaking Bad universe that when they come up in Better Call Saul, you go,
yeah,
all the time.
They're, and they're just, they're so well thought out.
And it's not.
And well handled.
Yeah, like
nothing
it's never
cheap.
Cute or
no,
like.
No.
It's always just kind of like. And it's so amazing how those things, because you know the fate of so many of these people.
Right.
And it just, and you're like, oh, that guy pops up. Oh, no. It's like, I know how horribly his life progressed. So to see more of it, it just really puts you on edge in the greatest way.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Bob Odenkirk continues to be shockingly amazing.
Remarkable performance.
And also, I mean, I don't know if we talked that much about Rhea Seehorn on this show, but...
I believe we did, but talk about her more because she deserves it.
God. I love her character so much.
Yeah.
I love a main character that is, she has, like, this massive expanse of human compassion.
Yeah.
And is still a flawed character and is still, has her own shortcomings, but is just this fucking wonderful person in the midst of people who are not wonderful.
Yeah. She is one of the most excellent performances in television of the last 5-10 years.
Yeah. And I feel like she doesn't get enough credit.
No,
for,
not at all. The character is remarkably complex and interesting and well written, and the
and
performance
so,
is
so sweet. And I'm so worried about her.
I know. I'm so horrifyingly worried. Good Lord.
Yeah.
But yeah, she is beyond good.
Yeah.
That is a once a decade kind of performance of a character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So that was the first episode of Better Call Saul?
First episode of season 4.
Sweet. So check back in for some more.
Yeah. I can't believe it's already been 4 seasons.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's wild. I have a real quick one. I was 2 weekends ago home at my parents' house. They were out of town and my sister was there with her kids. So we wanted to put something on that was kind of like from... that we remembered, but that we could watch with the kids. I think maybe they had already seen some of it, but we threw on
Porky's.
A whim Porky's.
2.
No, Hard Bodies 2. Screwballs and Porky's.
At the same time. Here you go, kids.
And then we left them in the room with it.
Yeah. And a VHS copy of Joysticks.
Yeah, exactly. we threw on a whim.
Hey, kids, have a weird time.
Yeah. You'll have some questions. we put on Honey, I Shrunk the Kids on a whim, and that movie holds up so well.
I just recently watched about half of it.
It's so good.
It's great.
It is wonderful.
That's nice to hear.
Especially such an effects-heavy movie for the amazing effects work in that movie.
Yeah.
And even, like I don't know, everything about it holds up. It's such a fun throwback to, like, old kind of sci-fi, Attack of the Little Puppet People. There's a bunch of movies about people getting shrunk back then, and this is just that templated onto, like, an 80s family suburban thing, and it works so well.
It really works, because it has such a good pace for such a simple thing of, like, they get shrunk, and now they have to get from the back of the yard to the house.
Yeah.
And that's it, man.
That's it.
And which would become boring if not for Rick Moranis' character realizing what's happened.
Yeah.
And his whole thing of, like,
trying
inspecting
to find
the yard
and
doesn't want to step on them, and, like, when he's got himself in that, like, Mission Impossible harness so he can, you know, hover over the fucking
grass.
It's all so good.
cast is great. Everybody, like the family next door, everybody is great.
Yeah, isn't that Matt Frewer?
Totally. He's amazing in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so good and so funny, and the effects hold up, and you get sad when the aunt dies, and just like it works really well. I just feel like it's one of those movies that really deserves to be continued to watch. Like, you can put it on now and it works like gangbusters. All right, who's next? Anything else on the watch list?
I started watching that TV show Final Space.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I was interested in that because...
Yeah, I saw
Fred
it on
Armisen,
Netflix, right?
Like, it seems like there's a good cast.
Yeah, there is a good cast, which definitely caught my eye. And so I've seen...
Conan O'Brien on that?
Yeah.
Oh,
weird. Fred Armisen. And like a lot of people. So that's, I was like, oh, well, I don't know what this is, but there's good people involved, but it's created by some like YouTube guy.
Okay.
I don't know what he does on YouTube at all. And I was like, is this like trying to be like a Rick and Morty thing? What are we doing here? And so I started watching the first episode and I was like, I don't think I like this. There's something dumb going on here, or something felt obvious or like pushed, and I was like, I'm not gonna like this. But then I was just like, well, I don't have time to do anything else, and I'm just gonna fucking finish this episode. But by the end of the episode I was like, wait, no, I think I liked that. Or at least I want to see more. And then the second episode I'm like, there's something going on here. And then I watch the third episode, I'm like, I don't necessarily like 100% of it all the fucking time, but the stuff I do like, I like really like, and I can't put my finger on it, because it's like, it's not that it's the funniest thing, but it is kind of funny, but it is kind of has like a serious thing too.
Oh,
like,
really?
It's balancing this weird little dance that I wasn't expecting, and it's a little bit more complicated than than I was expecting. It's still dumb and silly, you know. Like, there's a character who's, like, a cat guy, and his name is Avocado, but, like it's C-A-T in the middle of it. Avocado, cat. And I'm like, but why did they call him Avocado? Yeah. But I'm like, I'm glad they didn't, in a way. And he's kind of awesome. it's super weird, but I'm into it. So if you try and watch it, don't judge the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Give yourself time with it, because it's doing its own thing a little
bit. That's what I had to do with BoJack. I hated BoJack at first.
Yeah.
It's fucking brilliant.
I don't know if this is a BoJack level kind of thing. I certainly don't think it's a Rick and Morty level thing, but it's very good.
Yeah, I'm going to watch
it. It's worth... Give it two episodes. If at the end of two episodes you're like, this is dumb, I hate this, then I think you're there.
It's like a 20-minute kind of show.
It's not long at all.
Watch two instead
looks
of
good.
Watching
like
one
it's,
something
it's
else.
It's, you know, it's good, fun animation. So, but yeah, there's something about it.
Yeah. I'll watch it, because I saw it pop up on Netflix, and I was like, oh, what's that? Like, I should, like, earmark that and maybe go back to it, but then I never did. While you were talking about it, I looked up the dude from YouTube, and I guess he co-created it with somebody that was involved with like Regular Show and the Tick and some other stuff.
Yeah.
So that picks my ear a little bit. Yeah. I'll check it out.
It's interesting.
I'm always like, oh, I'm gonna eat dinner. What am I gonna put on? I'll try it.
Yeah. This is a great little short watch stuff. Yeah. Very good.
Final Space. Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah.
Spinal Face.
Yeah, I don't need to talk about any of these other things.
We watched the newest season of Catastrophe, which I don't know if either of you have watched.
No, I've seen the first two seasons. There's the third season, right?
This was the third season, yes.
Yeah, okay. That show's fucking amazing.
And season three is, holy shit.
Yeah, okay.
Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's like, I thought Rob Delaney was one thing, and I didn't really know who Sharon Horgan was, and...
She was in Game Night recently.
Yeah.
I have a big crush on her. She's a delight.
Oh, she's so fucking awesome. And just super fucking cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Season three is amazing.
What a good show.
Sweet. I'll have to watch that. That's another one I haven't seen.
He's in, Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
And he was great.
I was like a fat guy. Oh, it makes me laugh. Yeah. I like Rob.
You should watch Deadpool 2. You're gonna have fun. It's a good time.
I'm definitely going to. It's
just thinking of his scenes, and I'm like, I'm gonna watch that again.
And a couple of other things. I watched the first couple of episodes of Wellington Paranormal. I don't know if I talked about that on the last one. It's great. You should definitely check it out. It's very much got the same sense of humor as What We Do in the Shadows, and
they're making a TV show out of that.
That's what this is.
Oh, is that what this is?
Yeah, yeah. It's originally it was supposed to be. I think they were thinking of making what we do with in the Shadows TV show, but then they were like, oh well, let's do this thing instead, where they can open it up to. So it's basically like Men in Black, kind of in New Zealand, kind of in this.
I think there's
New
yet
Zealand
another series coming.
Well, this is the in this series, maybe they're doing like a whole universe thing.
Yeah, I think they might be.
Because in this series, apparently, he hasn't shown up yet in the episodes that I've seen, but the characters from What We Do in the Shadows are referenced. But yeah, I watched that. And then did anybody watch any of Sharp Objects?
No.
No.
Okay, well then I'll maybe hold off talking about
That's
that.
The writer of... Gone Girl, right?
Yeah.
Gillian Flynn, the writer of Gone Girl and the creator of Big Little Lies.
Yeah, and Amy Adams.
Amy Adams stars and is an executive producer.
Yeah, it's the same director of Big Little Lies, which is the same director of Dallas Bowers Club. Yeah. And
didn't they already do something with this?
Well, there was a movie a while back called, like, Dark Places, I want to say, that was based off of the same writer's work.
Okay.
That... apparently was not very good.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
But
I don't know. Maybe that was...
I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't worry about me.
it starts out pretty good. I mean, it's very slow, and it's one of those things where we live in a town where little girls get murdered.
Yeah.
And nobody smiles. which, I mean, I guess there's not a lot to smile about when little girls are getting murdered, but it's that very, like, everything's very quiet, and we all talk like this, and... everyone has a secret drinking problem. But Patricia Clarkson
secret
is fucking...
drinking?
Are you going to keep going with it?
Yeah, I think we will.
Okay.
I think we will.
I'll check that one out. I liked Big Little Lies a lot.
I loved
Big Little Lies. Yeah, it was so good.
Yeah. Can't wait for season two of that.
Yeah.
Dark Places is what I'm thinking of. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I don't really have too much else to talk about. None of those other movies are talk worthy.
Yeah, I don't think I don't know. I've been watching that I Am a Killer.
Oh, yeah. We watched all that.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Not bad. Netflix. True crime.
Yeah.
True crime? Maybe we'll jump on
it's
that.
It's interesting.
Yeah. It's good.
I thought it was going to be my jump over, too, because I know this is going to sound stupid, but I only have about 100 episodes left of Forensic Files.
Yeah.
Forensic Files is... I mean, I'm going to be able to go back and watch some of them because I've fallen asleep through 70% of them, maybe 60%.
Totally.
What's Forensic Files?
It's just
it's one of those,
a docu-series, it's like 20, 25 minutes of like, there was this murder.
Yeah.
Like an unsolved,
very descriptive.
It's an unsolved mysteries type show, but without a host, and they solved all the mysteries.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So not exactly like unsolved mysteries.
Well, it's like and I like it because it has reenactments, but with no audible acting.
Yeah, so
they
just
do reenactments
like...
to kind of show you how the thing happened.
Yeah,
but no one playing the people. And I hate that shit. And it takes me out of it. I just want to know what the crime was and how they solved it and that they solved it, because I can't watch the no solving ones. And fucking what kind of a life is that? Watching those shows, it's a nightmare. And we still don't know.
Yeah.
Well, why'd you make this then?
Yeah.
Let us know when you're done your job.
Would you finish this thing?
For Christ's sakes.
Yeah.
But there's like 350 episodes of Forensic Files on Netflix.
It goes way back.
And Athena and I always put it, it's our bedtime show, so we always pass out watching it. And I'm just like, oh God, there's only like 98 episodes to go. But I'm like, that's not even a year.
Yeah.
We watch it 5 days a week.
Yeah.
So I thought I Am a Killer would be the new one.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it's a little more, it's a more arresting and intense.
The one thing I found about it was there was the one thing that was kind of like my little, like, I just found that a couple of them on multiple episodes had the guy who was in for killing people were like, and you know what? I've never told anyone else this, and I've saved it for just this moment for this documentary to reveal this shocking thing. And I was like, okay, like, you've, like, it just felt a little bit too, like, now you're this killer guy's, like, playing up the drama.
Yeah,
like,
and I can feel the show manipulating me.
It is very manipulative.
And he's like, doesn't he seem nice? And someone else comes in, like, he's stop being a dummy. This guy's a fucking pile of shit. And then you go, but.
Yeah. I did like that sometimes they would have, like, the killer go through what happened and with the little shots of things of the reenactments. And then someone else will come in and be like, he's, like, manipulating, and actually what really happened was, like, this guy was actually over here in the room when he shot the gun. I like how it's a little bit, like, everyone's presenting their own version of the story, and then you get to sort it out. But, yeah, it is a little bit like all the other Netflix stuff. Like,
It's not making a murderer or something level, like, amazing, but it's interesting.
Yeah, totally. We watched them all, and it,
I'm going to watch all of them. Apparently the fourth episode is bananas. Anyway. I was trying hard not to skip to it. I've only seen two so far.
Yeah, they're all pretty good. Should we get to film roulette then?
I have one quick question for Ray.
Okay.
Has Zoe watched any? Is she into Storybots at all?
Storybots? No. What's that?
That sounds great.
Storybots is very big in my house.
Oh.
It's wonderful. I fucking love it.
I need something I like, because she's lost in Paw Patrol fucking addiction. And I like the toys. The toys we have are quality. They're actually pretty cool. But the show is so loud, it doesn't make any sense.
I actually really like the look of Storybots, too.
It looks,
I like
really
the little
cool
characters here.
Is it a Netflix
thing? It is a Netflix thing. There's two things. There's Ask the Storybots, and then there's Storybot songs or something like that.
Okay.
Well, and they share segments, like they share these little songs, because like there's like little songs, and sometimes an episode will be about dinosaurs and an episode about space or something. But Beatrice now knows all of the planets, the names of the planets.
Ask the Storybots. Is that what I want?
Ask the Storybots. That's a great one because that's got like guest stars on it.
Oh, okay. There's multiple. Okay.
Six Emmy nominations.
What's Story About Super Songs? Okay, that's something else.
Yeah, Super Songs is great.
Oh, boy. There's so much. And a Christmas one? Oh, wait.
Yeah, okay. I'm telling you. And the thing is, the songs are fucking great.
Yeah.
Like, a couple of them are raps, and they're so good. and Beatrice just absolutely loves singing along, and both her and Walt to just, like, dance around endlessly when it's on. It is really a wonderful thing to watch your kid watching.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah. I
got on to Yo Gabba Gabba.
Nice. Oh, yeah. I don't know that much about
it's,
that.
Well, it's a little bit of a pain in the ass to find. Yeah. YouTube's the only way I watch it. But it's super limited on episodes, but I totally get why it's big, because Zoe's fucking digs it.
Yeah.
And also I'm like,
hey,
this
cool
is pretty good.
Yeah. Like, I've watched episodes.
Yeah. it's basically created by musicians.
Yeah.
Some dude from the
Aquabats, I think. Yeah.
And then this other guy from another LA band. They came up with the idea, and then they hooked up with this dude who was like a DJ and musician, and who was like part of Amoeba Records and owned a cool record store in LA. And they're like, we think you should be the host. And he's just like this cool, weird guy. And I was like watching it. I'm like, this guy can't be an actor, because there's something too authentically awkward or like cool awkward about him. And yeah, he just rolls in with like these for the best glasses I've ever seen, and this awesome orange jumpsuit and a boombox. And opens it up and pulls all these weird rope-like characters out of it. And then they fucking do cool 8-bit graphics and, you know, like a little bit of 80s and 70s throwback imagery with like cool like indie pop songs that are for kids. There's one where the Cyclops monster sings this I'm Sorry song that I'm like, this is a fucking sweet jam.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's worth your time. Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yeah, that sounds fucking awesome. I'm
yeah,
pick that
but
up.
Yeah, I just put all this other stuff in my my list on...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door.
Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, I think Netflix.
That's like my big thing right now. Is like, there's a lot of really, really cool, like super cool shit for kids these days.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm just like, oh my God, I like, if I was making things right now, I'd be like, I would totally be into making something like
this. Sure,
yeah. It's really, really cool.
Get the fucking Paw Patrol fucking bonanza.
We're so lucky. Beatrice does not like Dora at all. She's so.
Oh, yeah. Bored. That can be annoying. Like, I appreciate that it's educational, but fucking come on.
And the thing is, they love educational things. Like, they love the alphabet, and they love numbers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But Beatrice would watch it and just be like, ugh, no.
Yeah.
Paw Patrol, too. She just has zero interest.
We took Zoe over to a friend's place, and their daughter was super into it when it was on, and then it just kind of, like, it just... caught, you know.
Yeah.
And like, I don't, it's not the worst because it's not violent, and you know, it's like a lot about teamwork and stuff, but I'm looking at it, I'm like, what is happening here? This child lives with dogs in like what's a like it's like a military complex. Yeah. The insurance must be outrageous, and I don't know where he gets all the things he has, and he has to always help this mare with her personal problems, and she lives with a chicken. And then the evil mayor from the other town, like, but they're sort of friends.
Liz, like, living in sin with a chicken? Or?
I don't know. She's a chickaletta, her chicken. She's an idiot, and so is the chicken.
Yeah.
Always problems.
But you don't know if they're fucking, is what
I
you're
don't,
saying. You
don't well, know. I don't want to presume. and it's just madness. Boy, this for this 11-year-old kid certainly has a lot of high-tech airplanes and helicopters at his disposal.
Sure.
I don't know where it's coming from.
Does Zoe ever bring up the things like the insurance? Or, is she worried about those things? Or
maybe
no?
It's something else. I'm constantly bitching about it, so maybe she'll pick up on what I'm talking about. This doesn't make any sense. I don't understand what's happening here. Anyway.
All right. Well, then, should we get to film roulette?
Yes.
Film Roulette is our weekly segment where the three of us roll a die and the two high rollers get to go see something good. The low roller has to see something terrible. This week it was The Meg, the big action movie of the week, and the low roller was Love on a Leash, something that I will talk about in a bit. But The Meg, and the low roller gets to give the winners an album to listen to for the rest of the week as payback, baby. So, The Meg, directed by John Turteltaub. Chomp on this. A deep sea submersible pilot revisits his past fears in the Mariana Trench and accidentally unleashes the 70-foot ancestor of the great white shark believed to be extinct, Megalodon. Jason Statham is in this, Ruby Rose, Ryan Wilson, tons of people are in this film that runs 113 minutes and is getting 2.7 out of five on average average rating.
What's
on Letterboxd?
It's, Metascore is 46. 6.2 on IMDb.
Yeah, okay. So this has been long in the works. Traded directors over and over again.
Added a "the" to the title.
Yeah. Finally landed with Johnny T.
Yeah.
Who has done such wonderful films as
Turtle
Natural.
Yeah. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtletaub.
Yeah. He's done National Treasure, Three Ninjas, Cool Runnings.
These turtles are filthy. Put them in the turtle tub.
In the turtle tub. It's shaped like a turtle, but also it's for watching turtles.
Yeah, so based on the book and has been in the works forever. Eli Roth was going to do it for a while, and thankfully I feel like maybe not. I don't know how this turns out, but I was kind of like, I don't really want to see that one go fuck up Death Wish.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like there was some excitement around this, a big dumb shark movie.
Yep.
So
how, a big dumb shark movie.
How's this land? Does it flop in dead in the water or skim across the top to five star town?
Jesus. I lost the plot there. Which one is the one where it sucks worse than anything ever?
Flops dead in the water.
There it is. That's the one that it is. Greg, what did you think?
I liked it.
Really?
Yeah.
How?
I had fun.
It was so boring.
I wasn't bored. It looked fine. The effects are decent, and it was what I wanted. Not exactly what I wanted. I wanted like a great movie, but like I knew it was going to be like a dumb actioner movie, and I liked Jason Statham in it. And I like that he was just like brooding hero guy, and it just kind of worked for me. There were all these bad one-liners and stuff, and they stole all of these things from all these different movies. But I'm like, I don't care because I like those things you're stealing.
The dialogue was embarrassing.
It was so bad, so I had fun. Like it was just big. It was big, enormously big, stupid. Hollywood summer movie. So I was just like, Athena and I went together and we watched it. And we were like, dynamite.
I didn't understand because it's really slow and really boring for like 2 hours, and then stuff starts happening.
Yeah.
And when the stuff starts happening, granted, I was like, that's a big shark.
Yeah. Super big.
You can't. There's no getting around it.
Yeah.
Especially because it's so big. But like for a movie about a massive shark that chomps people like 8 at a time, this is the most bloodless.
Yeah, that is a
boring
bummer.
Like just absolute bullshit. I did not give a fuck about anybody.
Yeah.
There's one point where, spoiler alert, a guy sacrifices himself kind of thing, and I was like, who's that guy? Why do I care about him?
Well, here's like I actually thought I did like one of the characters. I guess the female lead or love interest. The actress's name is Bing Bing Lee.
Yeah,
I thought she was actually a pretty good actor.
Yeah, but.
And so that was fine. I liked her and I liked her daughter because she was adorable. But. I wanted more blood and chaos, but I kind of was like into the stuff that was happening, and I liked all the big dumb, like it felt like an 80s stupid action movie.
I agree.
Where
I feel
Jason
like
Statham, they show his like failure to save people at the beginning, and then they go get him. He's like, I don't go in the water anymore. And they're like, well, listen to this tape. He's like, I'll go back in the water now. That's the Australian.
He was really Australian just a second.
Just a second. And, you know, and like, it just, like, the, you know, I liked all he lives in, you know, Thailand now and just drinks beer because he's so sad.
Yeah.
But he's still in remarkably perfect shape.
He drinks,
you know, all beer drinkers.
Yeah. You know, he drinks beer and he's apparently famous for it.
Yeah.
Like, there were those elements. And you're right. There was it was sort of unabashedly that.
Yeah.
But I also felt like they needed to back that up with something.
Yeah.
It was like, well, I get that that it's a nod and a pretty faithful nod to, you know, shitty movies. But then also, this is a shitty movie.
But it was one that I had a good time watching.
I did not. I was annoyed by it. I was like, let's just fucking.
Athena and I went and saw it in the middle of the afternoon. It was kind of like we didn't know if it was going to happen and if I was going to have to go by myself. But then her parents were awesome and watched Zoe for us. And it just kind of came out of nowhere, like going to the movies.
Yeah.
And we went and saw it at the VIP Don Mills one.
Oh.
It was like super nice, you know. And so the chairs are comfy and we're just like, oh, shit, now we're watching a movie. And I didn't have any expectations of like I'm going to, you know, this is the next Jaws.
Yeah.
Like big, dumb shark movie that's not like watching a, you know, three-headed shark movie.
Yeah.
And so I got that. And some of the shots were cool.
I
liked the insanely stupid science of it.
just because it was so like, that's what you're doing? Cool.
Yeah, I'm
into it.
I actually didn't mind that. I didn't mind the explanation as to how the big shark got into regular shark territory. It was like, what? Created a shark highway.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
I thought Rainn Wilson's character was just... was just so hack, and he was terrible at it.
If you're going to throw that character in, and you're going to steal a bunch of little things or have all kinds of nods to other shark movies, if you're going to put that character in and you're not going to do something as fucking startling as Samuel L. Jackson's death in Deep Blue Sea, then
what are you doing?
There's no point.
They sort like they I, go I almost feel it, like but... they tried, but again, in a movie that was, I think, rated G, there's not much that they could do in terms of, you know, making it interesting.
That was a big fumble there, but I just didn't care at that point. I'm like,
if Shark Attack 3 is, five out of five, which it is.
It's still the best Megalodon movie.
It's absolutely the best Megalodon. This movie is like a -3.
Oh, no, I don't know. But this is the second best Megalodon movie I've seen.
I kept waiting for Jason Statham to try to eat Rainn Wilson's pussy. He never did.
With all the shark movie nods that go on in it, I was like, that they're obviously leaning into, I'm like, come on now.
Yeah.
Just please. It doesn't even have to be that line.
Yeah, no. Just something.
But
just
give something. Me something.
Just give me a real quick 80-yard megalahoo.
Yeah.
That's all I need.
What a wonderful piece of work that is.
Yeah.
So good.
If you don't know what we're talking about, stop what you're doing. Yeah. Whatever your plan was to watch tonight, change it, because you're watching Shark Attack 3 Megalodon.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And so then your mind is going to be fucking blown.
So good.
You're going to feel very weird.
You don't get moments
like
that.
No.
So Casey and I rented so many fucking stupid movies.
Yeah, and then you see
smoking all this weed, eating Wendy's, and we threw that one in just like no advance warning. It wasn't a thing yet. It might have been a newish release.
Yeah.
And the immediacy, which both of us sat up.
So good.
It was like, man.
Yeah, and there were,
That was a special night.
Yeah. It was just
one
around
of my favorite movie moments of my entire life.
And there was a lot of, like, other shitty shark movies, like, just starting to come. So it was like,
so many.
When you, it was a gamble to get that one, and if you picked the right one.
Yeah. We could have gotten the Antonio Sabato Jr. one.
Yeah. Well, Sharks in Venice or some shit.
Yeah. Shark Attack 3, Megalodon.
Well, from Meg, which was a little bit of a split, 50-50 here. I want to hear what the listeners think. Comment and email us if you saw the Meg. From there into a what the fuck movie with Shark Attack 3. And we segue straight into a what the fuck movie with Love on a Leash from 2011.
It's not called Perfect for Sex?
No.
The dog that was perfect for sex?
Love at First Bark is the tagline, and the synopsis is a dog who strives to become a man seeks a woman who will love him enough for the transformation to take place. This stars a bunch of people that you will not recognize, except for the main actress, Jana Camp, who, if you're like me, you won't recognize until your friend Carlo says, that was the little girl in Invasion USA who put the star on the top of the Christmas tree before they all got blown up.
Holy smokes.
She hasn't done anything since then until this.
She's waiting for it. I need a script as good as Invasion USA or I don't work.
I know. Oh, my God. When I realized that, I was like, holy shit.
What's this, sex dog?
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
So... this movie, directed by Fenn
Tian. Is there a bazooka
Tian.
Quick draw in this movie?
Yeah, I wish. The debut film by Fenn Tian. This is... oh, my God. I don't even know how to talk about it. We had a show called Time Bandits, we covered on that show, Greg and I, a film called Roller Gator.
Yeah.
This is coming for Roller Gator's crown, baby.
Whoa.
This movie is so fucking amazing and fucked up. And, oh, my God. It is unbelievable. I wish we all watched it so we could share in this moment.
Please,
somebody else watch this with me. You know how in Roller Gator it has constant soundtrack? It was just like
yeah,
acoustic
that weird noodling
plucking
thing, which they put bing, in bing, to bing, cover bing, up bing, the yelled at,
oh my god, yeah,
the noise of yeah, amateur filmmaking.
So this movie is like somebody saw that and was like, I'm going to do the opposite and have no music ever.
Yes.
And long stretches where the audio just cuts out to nothing.
That's great.
The opening credits are like 3 minutes, no audio, although there are credits for a composer. And then it just starts, and it's this dog wandering around a park, and this guy is talking over the footage every once in a while. He's like this fucking guy who's clearly some third-rate comedian in this local town, just saying like, oh man, a dog's life, or like the, and in the opening he is getting pet by a dog, and he's getting pet by a dude, and his riff on that footage is, back off man, I'm not gay. And I was like, oh my god, yeah, what am I getting myself into here?
Holy smokes.
Sweet joke
not. And so the movie is about this dog who's wandering around a park and saying things like, I want chicks, I gotta find chicks, I'm gonna pick up some chicks and shit like that. And he wants to get with these girls in the park because I guess he's a horny dog, but he can't.
The girls
they're
are
all
girls, right? Not,
yeah,
not like,
yeah,
lady,
yeah,
dogs.
He's like looking at them kissing like their boyfriend. He's like, oh brother, or something. And then
he's like, boy, I sure like to kiss the lady,
yeah,
not the man, because I'm not
gay. So then he wanders over to the lake, and there's some bubbles in the lake that come up and are like, hello, you need to get the love of a girl if you want to be a real
the
man.
The bubbles say this?
Yeah.
What?
There's yeah, like,
do they have little mouths, or
no,
is there just bubbles and someone's saying
it's
that?
It's a two-pronged attack. So they have something in the water, like they threw a piece of dry ice so it's bubbling and smoking.
Yeah.
And then they also do some like after effect, like, you know, we didn't even change the preset sparkles.
Yeah. Who are we to presume is saying this? The actual body of water?
I think so.
The water?
So. The lake.
The lake?
The lake tells a dog he has to
yeah.
love
I
a
have
lady.
A bet with my friends.
The trees. I want to see if I can
they
get
said
it.
A dog can't fuck a lady.
I said, oh yeah?
Prove me wrong.
Yeah, it's like, I guess, the genie of the lake or something. Like, it's never explained.
Okay.
And it only happens because...
Well, that's not the kind of thing you want to explain in your movie at all.
In fact, later in the movie, something happens and the guy goes, it's better if I don't explain it. And so this movie is just about him... For a while, it's just about him trying to get this girl to love him. So what he does is he, like, goes rolls in dirt so that she'll take him home because I guess she's a psycho that takes home random
That's
dogs.
That's how I met my wife.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, you're filthy.
And so she starts to, like, oh, you're going to live with me now because you're this dog. And she doesn't hear him talk, but he talks. And eventually... I guess she starts to like him, and then he starts to turn into a dude at night, and then he goes back to the lake, and the lake is like, unless she really loves you, you'll only be a man at night, is the rule now.
Does this go for every dog, or did something happen to this dog? Like, is this just all dogs just are waiting to have
turn
a lady
into a horny
fuck
man?
Them?
Yeah. And when he turns into the man, he kind of has like it again.
Does he have like a dog nose or like little ears?
I wish.
Does he have a dog penis?
It's a lot. I didn't see
a lipstick.
It's a lot less. ew!
Ew!
Going.
What was that noise?
You don't want to know.
Why do dogs' penises make that noise?
Going with the idea that this is like a small town production, because it must be, this is like somebody's just decided to make a movie and people are like, okay. It's like there was a small town and they were like, who looks the most like a dollar bin Robert Pattinson? You do? all right, you're in the movie, even if you can't act. So they start to fall in love, and then it becomes like...
How? Because she sees him as a dude?
Yeah, and then she starts banging him.
So she brings him home.
Is he in the house?
He's
Did she wake up in the middle of the night?
I was
your dog, but,
it happens.
I'm a dude now for a bit.
She is with him when he changes into a dude, and she's like, oh my God, what just happened? Who are you? And he's like, I'm your dog, and then they make out in the rain.
So she's like, who are you? And he's like, I'm your dog. And she's like, good enough for me?
Yeah,
finally.
You're a man now. There's a whole...
Want to go outside?
There's a whole... So there's so many things going on in this movie outside of the dog stuff. So she works at this, like, clothing store where, like, two people are trying to date her. And there's a big subplot where one of them asks her to marry him and then immediately is like, but you'll be able to sleep with other people because actually I'm gay and I just want you to marry me so my family doesn't hate me.
What
and then
the
there's another guy
movie?
Who is like obsessed with her and he like is like unwanted advances and eventually the dog chases him off. There's also a plot
Please
about how
tell
the,
me the dog bites him in the nuts.
I wish. There's also
no, wait,
a
sorry. Please tell me he turns into a man first and then bites him in the nuts.
No,
that's how he got his dick. That's how he got his man dick.
Yeah.
Oh, so he doesn't necessarily turn into a man. As
yeah.
much
he just
as
takes
he
pieces of a
collects
man.
Collects the pieces
yeah, like a skin suit.
Yeah, puts it on
I'm
like
a, you know
Buffalo
man at night.
Yeah.
That's,
there's also a subplot about how the dog thinks that in order to complete the transformation, he has to provide for her. So he goes and finds his way to be in a commercial and start making money for them.
So they write checks to a dog.
Yeah, basically the dog.
Of
like
course,
the
that's
dog
what they do.
Gives
$1 million. Yeah. To the dog.
The dog gives an agent his number. Or no, so he's in like the thrift store and he's like sorting clothes and everyone in there is like, this dog knows what colors are. He's sorting the clothes. That's wild. And a guy's
this
like
dog has synesthesia.
Yeah. And a guy's like, I want him in a commercial. Here's my number. And
I
want
to make love to him too.
Yeah. Let me fuck this dog, please.
Are you a man at night?
Please say yes.
And there's a subplot about her best friend.
Actually,
who's...
I don't care either way.
There's nice job on the clothes. Let's do this.
Yeah, so that happens.
I'm very turned on when dogs shop
sort
for clothes.
Gives me a real bony. Wait a minute. Bone? Dog?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah, and she has this best friend who's like sleeping around, and the main character, I forgot to mention, how could I, is a virgin at the beginning of the movie. And
the
her
dog or the
No,
lady?
The main lady, and her friend is
she
like...
She loses her virginity
to the
dog
man?
Yes.
Yeah.
Dear Pedos.
Never thought this would happen to me.
I never thought it would happen like this. Yeah. So it keeps having these things happen, but it's never like working towards a plot. It's one of those movies where like random things happen and then resolve and then happen and resolve and this lady is with the dog and then the dog wants to make money for her so she'll fall in love and then they get into arguments because she doesn't want to date a guy who's sometimes a dog.
Hey, listen, you marry the dog man,
yeah.
You I don't know how that would go.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's that old
you
saying?
Marry the dog mountain?
Yeah.
You marry the dog man, you get the dog penis.
Yeah. And so also the dog sings songs often, every once in a while.
When he's a man or a dog?
When he's a dog, he's running around singing songs. Did you guys hear the one I put in our...
Yeah, I wouldn't classify that so much as a song as a... like
I didn't hear. No, I thought, okay. Play
I'm
for
gonna
sure.
Try
and
play with it, no context.
Yeah. I'm going to try and play it for the listeners. I don't know if it'll make it in the room,
please.
But...
No, it's not going to be loud enough.
All right. Come on, man. Hook me up. Give me a business lady.
Because I'm a dog and it hurts my feet when it's hot outside because I'm a dog.
I'll see if I can make that louder in post.
Yeah, but, if you can.
Or I'll just drop it in. I'm going to try and get some more clips of stuff from this movie because the stuff that he says and riffs, I can't even think of it. It was so outrageous. I laughed so hard a few times at how fucked up this movie is. Also, I'm debating whether or not I should tell you guys something that happens later in the movie that was
fucked. No, I'm watching this movie again.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'm going to check it out.
I'm going to check this movie
out. It's hard to get through, though, I will say. Like, it's like Roller Gator. It's like, this is so painful.
I'll try and bring a buddy over.
Yeah. It is truly wonderful and amazing. And
no,
it is
I need to check this out. This is too insane.
It sounds
I almost
so
don't
good.
Believe you.
Yeah. It's
what's the rating on this? Is it a hard R?
No, but it is one of those movies where things happen and you're like, I don't understand. Is this gonna get like the when they're like gonna make out and stuff, you're like, this feels like it could all of a sudden be full of nudity. But it doesn't ever. But there is some like jokes where you're like, what the fuck? Who is it? Like, what level of what rating is this supposed to be?
Dynamite.
And what else? Is there anything else I want to say about this movie? It's unreal. It's hard to watch, hard to get through, but it's wonderful. And the director has made another movie that I now want to watch. Oh, basically, it's like Roller Gator meets The Room. There's a ton of stuff in this movie where the dialogue is just like that thing in The Room where people just say things or like like the I have breast cancer or whatever. What? It's true. And or there'll be scenes staged weird. Like there's a scene where she's calling her mom and it keeps cutting back to her mom who's being shot like in silhouette in like midnight darkness. And you're like, what is this? Is this like a slasher movie? Is she evil?
What's his other movie called?
Her other movie, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Maybe not. Fen Tian is called Forbidden Kiss from 2012. A year later. Yeah, it's a woman, and so that's got to be amazing.
Okay.
See this movie. This movie is gaining traction online. There's somebody on YouTube has a really popular channel. Tipped this off to some people and they had this big thing where they were all trying to vote it 10 out of 10 on IMDb to get the rating really to get it really high and it's starting to get some buzz.
Yeah, look, it's got 9.8 out of 10 on IMDb.
So
okay, there's something happening here. I'm watching this movie.
It's unreal. One of those
she
things
was in
where
the Joy Luck Club.
Oh really?
Yeah, the director.
As an actor?
Yeah, as Auntie Number One. Oh. Number One.
Forbidden
Kiss doesn't have a plot that's readable, but
no. Go on IMDb.
There's definitely something.
And look at the image that it has on the title, like above the movie. That's like the shot of the mom that it keeps cutting back to when they're having a normal conversation.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, it's like she's like, hello. Yeah, so this movie holds a special place in my heart and will forever.
Yes.
And I love that I have seen
movie.
It.
Yeah, I can't wait to see this.
Yeah. At least I'm going to see if there's some like, I don't know if there's any videos on YouTube that like do a good job of doing the little recap of the clips and stuff, but
okay. Checking this fucking thing out.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
So that's Love on a Leash, and now we segue into the album part of the show with the album that Casey gave us, right?
Yeah, last week, last couple weeks, I gave you guys the latest release.
Latest and greatest.
Panic.
Panic!
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 Mother! At the Disco.
Yeah, called Pray for the Wicked.
Yep.
This is from this year and is 11 songs long. Sixth album released in June. And I'm...
This was the sixth album released in June?
Sixth album. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
What a distinction.
I was actually disappointed that... did you listen to this any, Casey?
No.
Okay, because I really wanted to get your
take
on this.
Have you ever heard a Panic at the Disco album or song?
I've heard their songs because I saw them on Saturday Night Live once, and I was like, oh, well, I hate music now.
And the singer...
Oh, this is why.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is why I don't listen to music anymore.
I see.
The singer is recently on Broadway in Kinky Boots as the lead.
Oh, wow.
So
well,
that's what he was doing between albums.
That's a ton of I don't give a fuck.
Sure.
So, yeah, I was interested to listen to this a little bit because I've heard their first album when it came out when they were like really, really bad Fall Out Boy knockoffs. And I was interested to hear what Casey would think because for me listening to this, like, I don't like this, but it was also one of those things where there's some songs on here where if I heard them on the radio, I'd be like, yeah, that's just a song on the radio that by someone I don't care about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like maybe I feel that way a little bit because I know the true pain of their first album, which is like so much worse than this.
Is
like, this is bad, but their first album, I was thinking of doubling down and making you guys listen to that album, but I didn't because I'm not a nice guy. But that stuff is like the real pain compared to this. This was just like I don't like this, and moving on.
It's terrible.
It's not good.
This is like a It's like a Katy Perry album with a bunch of swearing. But that's even
but
mean
like
to say because I got some time for
Katy
Perry. I feel like she's legitimately good at what she does. I don't know, or like a Justin Bieber. Like it's full on pop of right now.
Yeah,
like
totally.
And then
swells
the
production
and choruses
and
the hooks—they're all just the generic fucking dog shit pop that's going on, and it's annoying because all the little like clever to like so like the first song is called Silver Lining, but in brackets before Silver Lining, fuck a Silver Lining.
Yeah.
Why are the brackets there? I don't know. Just to put him there.
Because he says it real fast.
I don't know.
Silver Lining.
Why?
What?
I don't know. All of this is a...
That's a stupid sentiment.
And the album gets, like, really annoyingly bad deep. That King of Clouds song.
Yeah.
King of the Clouds.
Yeah.
Fucking fuck the fuck off. I hated this.
Yeah.
And as I listened to it early... When you gave it to us, I gave it a little run through. And I'm like, fuck this, sucks balls. And then I kind of forgot about it.
Yeah,
and
me
then
too.
I kind of forgot why
thing.
It sucked. So I threw it on today. And I was cooking dinner for Zoe. And Athena came into the kitchen. She's like, what are you listening to?
Yeah.
I'm like, punishment album. She's like, oh, God. I was like so confused. I'm like, he's listening to something, but it's so bad. Bad.
Yeah.
I'm glad that she forgot.
Does my husband suck now?
Yeah. I need a divorce?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah, like
this is garbage fucking, like aimed at nothing but chart success, empty fucking dog shit.
And I think.
Well, I mean, I guess, Dan, how does it compare to.
Well,
I
think maybe that's
Panic
why.
At Mars.
I think maybe that's why. I was able to shrug it off because the emptiness of it only reminded me of how much worse the stuff they were doing early on, which was like, we're kind of an emo, like a mall emo style, like band, but we also have the dancey stuff to it. And their early stuff was excruciatingly poor lyrically, like very like theatrical mall, My Chemical Romance emo stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And so for me listening to this, which just sounds like a shitty pop album and the lyrics, like the lyrics are all bad, but I was never like, oh my God, like, shut up about your fucking whatever it is, the kind of shit they were saying on their first album. It was
just like, if I heard it on the radio, I just passed by it. Catchphrase lingo thrown around, but I can't imagine
It's not good.
This kind of vapid songwriting, you know, trying to convey emotion.
Yeah, no,
would
not
be
at all.
Just a disaster.
No. Yeah, and that's the worst thing about this album, other than the fact that the songs are not good, is that it's just like so empty and crappy.
Look at these song titles from this first album.
Oh, God.
listen to this, Casey, if you want to
that's why I
wanted
it. Yeah. That's why I didn't.
Here's the single. These are the singles from the first record. The first single was called The Only Difference Between Martyrdom and Suicide is Press Coverage.
Fuck you.
The second single was called I Write Sins, Not Tragedies.
Isn't that the name of their album or something? That sounds no. familiar to me.
What you'll probably recognize, and then is the fourth single from the album was called Lying Is the Most Fun a Girl Can Have Without Taking Her Clothes Off.
Holy
These
fuck.
These are song titles.
Oh, God.
Man.
Oh, yeah. That's they were schooled at the, you know, they were taught at the school of the longer and dumber a song title is, the more
cool
people will
think
you
are. Yeah, and
their
second album is called Pretty, period, Odd, period.
Fuck you. Yeah,
there's a song on there called That Green Gentleman, bracket, Things Have Changed, and bracket.
What?
That band is so stupid.
They're so stupid.
Wonderful. I've never heard any of their other albums other than their first one and this one.
The first one's the big one? Is that their big
That
jam
was
jam?
Their big, like...
what's it called?
Yeah.
A Fever You Can't Sweat Out?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible. You guys would have a nightmare with that album.
These titles, good Lord.
Yeah. Which is why I'd consider giving it to you guys back to back, but maybe I'll do it some other day.
Yeah. Please give us some My Chemical Romance to cleanse the palate.
Well, here's what I am going to give you because I'm back on my bullshit.
Oh, my God. Sorry, Casey. I just dissed for you, buddy. I'm going to read out some more song titles from their first album.
Yeah.
Track 3 is called London Beckons Songs About Money Written by Machines.
Oh, I bet that one has a message.
Yeah. And there's a track 4, Nails for Breakfast, Tax for Snacks.
Oh. You know what? You know what the grossest thing about it is thinking about this fucking guy
I feel like most of them have
Kevin,
to be.
I'm not done.
Okay.
Track 12 on their debut album is called. The song title is There's a Good Reason These Tables Are Numbered, Honey. You Just Haven't Thought of It Yet.
What?
This is making me want to give it to Casey.
Oh, God.
I'm not going to. I'm not going to.
I'm winning with a song. I think of it more as like poetry. Music.
If you heard the songs, you would oh my God, yeah. Terrible. Terrible.
Dynamite.
Yeah. I'm back on my bullshit, guys. I'm back on my same old bullshit. Yeah. Remember when I would give you some tribute albums?
Oh,
farts. Woo! It's like 12, 15. It's like 15 punishment albums in one.
Yeah, I like these ones because they're not just bad; they're also offensive.
Yeah. So I'm tempted to not tell you guys about the artist and the acts on this because if you go on Spotify, I'm not sure about Apple Music or any of the other ones, but if you go on Spotify, this album is there, but they have not told you what any of the bands are. It's just the song titles.
Weird.
So that could be fun, but I'm probably going to let you know what you're in for a little bit. So,
fine. What's it called?
How do you feel about Duran Duran?
I'm a big Duran Duran fan.
I know, right? Because they have a lot of great songs.
Yes, a couple of fucking really good records.
Well, how do you feel about the year 1997?
Oh, God, thank you. Is this thank you, Duran Duran?
No,
thank you.
It's
their
not.
Tribute album? Cause, oh, no, that was 97.
No.
But that is terrible.
How do you feel about when major labels like Mojo Records decided that they would get in on some of that sweet, sweet third wave ska and pop punk and other stuff?
No, no, not ska versions of Duran Duran.
How do you feel about Goldfinger, Real Big Fish, Less Than Jake, Gob, Jimmy Eat World, Wesley Willis?
I hate everything except for one so far.
Deftones.
Whoa.
Oh, their cover of
the chauffeur.
The chauffeur is fucking dynamite.
Yeah,
that's
I
on
bet
here.
It would be.
It's really good.
That's on here.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's some of the names that you'll get in here.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have had this on my list for a really long time and have been like, oh boy.
Okay.
Well, okay, yeah. So we're going to listen to Ska Ran, Ska Ran.
Yeah.
What's it called?
It's called the Duran Duran Tribute Album. And it's got a picture of like
really
a birthday cake of some sort on the cover.
After all those fucking elaborate song titles from Panic at the Disco, I'm sort of
on board with this basic title.
You'll hear such songs as Rio, Hold Back the Rain, Planet Earth, Chauffeur, Come Undone, Hungry Like the Wolf, The Reflex, Ordinary World, A View to a Kill, Girls on Film, Seventh Stranger, Save a Prayer, New Religion, Is There Something I Should Know, and then another version of Girls on Film.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do their weakest single twice.
Yeah. Well, the last time it's done was the Wesley Willis time, so.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. And I'm into that. That's good enough.
So there you go.
Yeah, I'm a fan of every one of these songs.
Yeah, me too. I like
Even Girls on Film. It just, you know, it's lesser than these other ones.
So enjoy that trip back to 1997.
Well, I doubt I will.
Well, let's see if Real Big Fish continue the contenders of worst song on the album after that Pixies one where they fucking butchered Gigantic.
Oh, God.
Well, that's fucking
so there you go.
Garbage.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's straight up garbage.
So this week for Rolling, we had chosen a punishment film about dogs as well.
Yeah, because why not? Now it's going to be a letdown after the fucking crazy town that you just had. But it is about a dog that is forced to go undercover.
Yeah.
But as a dog, not as a man.
Yeah. Show dogs.
Yeah.
3.2 out of 10 on IMDb.
Agents having trouble finding him work, I guess.
Yeah.
Owed someone a favor.
There was also money. Did you not? I remember reading about this.
Is he going to try to fuck that dog?
Is he going
to
fuck that dog?
There was some uproar about this when it was in theaters. Did
what?
You guys hear
this
about
this? Was in theaters?
I'm pretty sure it was.
Okay. What was the uproar?
There was
no more stupid movies.
Hey, this movie was too good.
No, there was a joke in it that people were saying promoted an inappropriate and harmful message about sexual abuse.
Oh.
Because there was some joke where I can't remember. It was just a joke about like one of the dogs said something about like the owner touching him or something, and there's like a laugh, and then people were like, actually, that is like the wrong thing that you should send to children watching this movie, to be like, oh, he's like getting a shave or something, and he's like, I'll go to my happy place or something to get through this, like I do with my owner or something like that, and it's like,
Oh God. Yeah.
But they apparently were re-editing that to get it out.
Okay.
So maybe it'll be
out the line about the peanut butter.
Yeah. Yeah. So Show Dogs looks terrible.
Yes.
And
but we did not watch a trailer, so we don't know if these dogs talk or not, and that's I guess.
I think they do.
I think that's the biggest hope or fear.
I think I feel like they will. If they don't,
if
it'll be disappointing.
Is going undercover.
Yeah.
This is Miss Congeniality with dogs.
Yeah.
And Will Arnett going.
Is Will Arnett the dog, or
happening.
Is he like.
No, he's a guy.
He's the dog's guy?
Partner. Oh. Yeah.
He's the straight man?
Yeah, totally.
Poor guy.
I know.
Did we decide it was going to be Winner's Choice or Eighth Grade? Yeah. Okay. Because Eighth Grade's out there. There's a couple
other
things.
Sorry to bother you.
There's things.
So.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to be seeing Crazy Rich Asians sometime relatively
soon. That looks good. Yeah. So there's a bunch of stuff for us to pick from, and also Show Dogs.
You have your stupid device.
I have my die.
Yeah. Oh, you have a die?
I brought a die.
Oh, then we're going to use the app.
No,
don't
we
like
don't have
app.
To this time. And now this die is the 0 to 10 die.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Or no, 0 to 9.
Oh.
Oh.
Which is technically 1 to 10.
Go.
Okay, I'm going to roll
Dan likes dogs.
A 8.
Oh.
Okay. All right, Greg's going to roll. Is that a 3?
3? If you draw in the rest of the tree, also an 8.
I'll do that now.
Yeah.
Casey, drop it on the floor.
This does not count.
Yeah, it does. That's a 2.
Yeah, fine. It counts.
No, it doesn't count. No, you're right. It doesn't count.
It landed solidly on 2.
See dogs solve crimes?
Yeah.
What am I complaining about? Yeah. That's what I would have watched anyway.
Yeah.
All right. So, winner's choice this week. Casey will be watching Show Dogs and listening to ska versions of Duran Duran cover songs. If you'd like to get in contact with us, you can email us at info@modernsuperior.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Go to SYNWPC on Facebook and also on Twitter, and you'll get notifications there about our episode releases and all of that good stuff. And as always, we will see you next Wednesday. Goodbye, Internet. And... There's a shocking event at the end of Love on a Leash.
I can't wait.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.